Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Rampage Rants Tuesday Night Turmoil. I am the Dean of Wrestling Referees, Steve Kane. We are opening tonight with the 10 bell. Of course, many of you who are longtime wrestling fans know Pretty Boy Doug Summers, who passed away earlier today at the age of 63. But also on the 13th, we lost an independent wrestler from down in Florida, a gentleman by the name of Wayne Van Dyke. He worked under the name of Richard Delicious. He was a friend of our friend Francisco Chiazzo. He was only 29 years old, and he was working in Florida at Ronin Pro Wrestling on April 29th. He complained to his tag team partner that he wasn't feeling well. As soon as he tagged out, he suffered a heart attack. Paramedics rushed in. They stopped the match. They performed CPR. And as they took him out and were rushing him to the hospital, he suffered a second heart attack in the ambulance and a third heart attack in the hospital itself. And also, unfortunately, during the CPR, as this does happen, they broke one of his ribs, but when they did, it punctured his lung. He was put into a medically induced coma to prevent further heart attacks. Unfortunately, he did not make it. Again, he was only 29 years old. So,
oh my goodness, he was just a baby.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh my.
Yeah.
All right, I'm trying to get everything.
Thinking about Doug Summers, of course, being somebody who grew up with the AWA, Doug Summers and his partner were the AWA tag team champions, Playboy Buddy Rose. They won the titles under very odd circumstances. It was a case of they actually were beat Scott Hall and Kurt Hennig by count out.
Okay.
And yet we're given the tag titles.
Damn.
It was a finish that was never, ever explained throughout the history of the AWA. Pretty Boy Doug Summers also dead tonight at the age of 63 years old.
Sad.
So, yeah. So, all right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're gonna go ahead and we're gonna lighten up the mood here for those of you who are classic rock fans. If you read the write up, you recognize the opening line in the write up as being from the classic REO Speedwagon song "Take It on the Run."
Ooh, one of my favorite songs of all time. I love that tune.
Well, I'll tell you what, hey. REO Speedwagon from Champaign, Illinois, lady.
One of my favorites.
Yep.
Of all
yep.
time. Like all time.
Oh,
I
yeah.
love REO Speedwagon. I grew up with that. As did you. Well, no,
well,
you didn't.
Well, here's okay. And here's well, here's what happened. This all actually started with an independent wrestler from Toronto, of all places,
okay.
Katie.
Wow, eh?
All right. He was told not to post this thing. Well, he did. Randy Orton picked up on it. Randy Orton sent it out. And from there, our friend Rip Rogers got a hold of it. He posted it up, and this thing went nuts, and Twitter just literally exploded. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and read this to you.
Okay.
Here's how it reads. Every indie match now. Handshake. Mm-hmm. Drawn out move exchange. This is awesome chant. Strike exchange. Dive. No sell indie strong style. Dive. More strikes. No sells. Dive. Flippy floppy sequence. Dive.
Flippy
hit everyone with
sneakers.
Each other's finisher. Then Humpty Dumpty we all fall down. Fight forever chant. Rinse and repeat until every move is useless and means nothing. Dive. Take unsafe shots that look like poop and hurts like heck, then roll up finish. Handshake and hug after match. Everyone's hands raised. All these guys chant, go home and type on social media thanking your opponents and company for the match and telling others that they should book these guys. Da 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 da.
Fucking hell, eh?
And seriously, I mean, this thing started a hullabaloo.
Like
you wouldn't believe. There were people ripping on Randy. There were people ripping on Rip. I had to correct a few people. And for those who were sitting there going, well, who are you? It's like, wait a second here. How many episodes of WCW TV have you been on? And I never got a response back. Now, Randy, it gets really interesting. And I think what I'll do here, I know Billy's in here. I'm kind of flipping from screens and that. So let me go ahead and I'll let Billy in so he can kind of respond to this as well.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, this really sets up some stuff because now this is what goes on farther on this whole situation. Okay. And let me go ahead. There it is. All right. Because
I got my wires straightened.
Because this gets really, really personal, because it takes another former WWE, ECW, TNA, now currently ROH star, into an argument, which also then brings his girlfriend into it. So when Rip starts this whole thing out, Bully Ray chimes in with a photo of his dive. And so he posts the picture of himself from a recent ROH show, and he goes, dive. Randy Orton then post back, LOL, there is a difference between a young, hungry talent diving and an old, out-of-shape, in quote, vet, falling. And so, Bully Ray posts back and says, dear Randy Orton, my tweet had zero to do with you. Looks like you were wrong. Again, you're still awesome. Thumbs up. And then falling, sign for greater than House of Horrors. And
okay.
And this keeps going on because into this whole exchange, you then wind up getting you get this one, Velvet Sky, saying, and I'm just going to go ahead and quote it out, Randy Orton, wow, what a dick thing to say. And then Randy issues an quote unquote apology, which reads like this: sorry to the indie marks, indie guys, and old timers who do dives took offense. Just having a good time over a few drinks in Denmark, closing the SmackDown Live tour, while beating Raw and making over $5 million in the last 11 shows. Now, I know to some that doesn't equate to a standing room only crowd of 150 people paying $8 at an armory somewhere, but in the big boy world, that's called putting butts in seats.
Yes.
So enjoy your flips, dives, and 20 super kicks per match. Teach their own. I will go dive back into my 13th title run and get ready to flip when my bank statement comes this month. Headlock.
Yelp. And who wrote that?
That was Randy.
I thought so. I'm just clarifying.
Wow. That was Randy's response to all of it. Did I hear the sound of hands clapping?
It's funny because it goes on.
Young Bucks reply, apology accepted. Will Ospreay says, until he buys a shirt, I'm not accepting his apology. A podcast group called MMA Fight Radio says, if I buy a shirt on his behalf, will you accept the apology?
No.
And Ospreay replies back, yeah, but I want a video of you giving it to him saying love from Will. And MMA Fight Radio replies back, okay, but if I end up getting the RKO out of nowhere because of it, I'm going to require an 8x10 personalized as an insurance policy.
Oh, damn.
And my old friend, Brian Heffern, Blue Meanie, goes to Randy.
I love Blue Meanie.
Charge your phone, buddy.
It's going to blow up.
Even Uncle Kenny replied in. Well, actually, Uncle Kenny replied in to Randy. Uncle Kenny replied in to Rip. He says, I love it, LOL.
He would.
I mean, it was honestly some, some great, great trolling on Randy's part. No question about it.
Yeah. Awesome.
And that, you know, so, I mean, you know, like I say, honestly, you know, you would have thought this was a Donald Trump tweet with all the responses that it got.
Right? I know,
yes,
right?
I did go there.
Yes, you went there. Oh, yes, he did.
Like I always go there every show.
Yes,
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump? What? Yeah. But yeah. love Randy. I can't say anything. I really can't. I can't. Oh, man.
Randy is hands down a badass. Legitimate.
Randy is one of the craziest motherfuckers that WWE has to offer, okay? I mean, from shitting in demon purses to doing this. And yes, Steve, I know you were waiting for that. And it's just, yeah. I mean, he gets just some of the stuff he does and some of the shenanigans he pulls and some of the shit that he gets himself involved in. It's just like, wow, dude. Just wow, dude.
Yep.
It's like,
yeah.
I love you, Randy. I love you. You know I do. I love you, and I told you I loved you, even though you, yeah, even though you're a shithead.
And married some other woman.
Yes, I'll let it go. We can't all be Randy Orton's wife, okay? We just can't.
Right, exactly. just like no other bass player in the world can be Geddy Lee.
Yeah, just like no other drummer in the world can be Neil Peart.
That is true. Right
there.
That is indeed true. So,
no other guitarist in the world can be Angus Young.
You're right.
Yes.
Most definitely.
Indeed.
You know how I feel about Angus.
So, but
he's a god.
Damn. All right. But anyway, rather scary time for Scott Hall. This past Sunday night, he was in Lowestoft, England, making an appearance at a World Association of Wrestling event. And after he finished his appearance, he went backstage and he started having chest pains. And of course, this is not good. We know Scott has had problems in the past. And in fact, Scott, we also know that a couple years back, Scott had a pacemaker put in.
Yeah.
So they took him to the hospital. But he was released from the hospital and, against doctor's orders, he flew back home.
Scott.
Yeah. Now,
always a hard ass.
Yeah. Now, of course, the interesting thing about this is World Association of Wrestling is owned by Ricky Knight. Ricky Knight, as we have talked about several times in the past on this show, is the father of Paige.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm there. All right.
Yep.
All right. Total recognition. Thank you.
Yes. Yes. And another breaking story that we just got latched onto earlier, thanks, of course, to our friend John Garabedian, is that there are more pictures of former WWE talents that are leaking out. There are some current ones that have leaked out. Most recently, Charlotte Flair had pictures leaked out. This one it's been a while since we've seen this person on WWE TV. In fact, actually, she has retired from the business completely,
and is now
teaching yoga, and that
Very
is
good.
Serena Deeb. Who?
Yeah, she shaved her head for CM Punk.
Right. She was part of the Straight Edge Society angle, mm-hmm. along with Luke Gallows, who, of course, is currently of Gallows and Anderson, what has been known as the Bullet Club. So,
all right, I'm trying
so,
to get
So, yes,
it
so there are, so, yes, for all you pervs out there, there are naked Serena D pictures floating around. So,
Serena D.
Serena D. So, go ahead and have your fun with that.
Is that the name
What's
she wrestled under?
Yes, Serena Deeb. So, it did not happen tonight, and I'm not exactly sure when it is going to happen, but there is going to be a slight change in the way SmackDown Live is presented on Tuesday nights. Yes.
Okay.
WWE and USA are planning, in order to try and keep viewers watching during the commercial breaks, they're going to do a picture-in-picture format. So what's going to happen is, while the commercials are playing, and the audio for the commercials, of course, is on, there will be, the match will be continually shown in a smaller screen, which is somewhat similar to what for many years ABC Sports has done with the Indianapolis 500.
Okay. All right.
So that way, yeah, if you want to continue to watch the match, you got to watch the commercials. And speaking of commercials, the first trailer for the upcoming Netflix Glow series has finally come out. It came out a couple of days ago. Just posted the link in the chat there.
Just
for you
okay,
folks.
Send it to me. Send it straight to me because I'm not in the chat. It's being a jerk. It really is.
All right.
The chat is just being a jerk. All right. You should have another caller calling in shortly. Keep your eyes open. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Chat is being a jerk. It didn't open for Larry at all.
Oh, yikes. Okay.
Yeah.
So what I did is I posted the one of my old longtime compatriots had posted it.
Ooh,
I posted it up, and I tagged Roxy, I tagged Patricia, and I tagged Sandy in it. Well,
all right.
And of course, you remember when the announcement came about on this series. Remember, we had a night with them, and we had quite the discussion about how they felt about this whole thing. And so Sandy's response was, I guess I wish them success with a bunch of question marks after it. Now, the actual Glow Girls aren't exactly thrilled about this, especially because they were not consulted into it. And so, now, of course, we've talked about this. Chavo Jr. Plays the trainer, and of course, in the first season of the series, his brother Mondo was the trainer, and my brother from another mother, Marty Elias, is in the show, plays a referee, and apparently it looks like Awesome Kong is in the show, playing the character who would, I guess would be, probably the closest related character would probably be Mount Fiji.
Yes. And Matilda. A big country.
Yeah, except of course, Matilda.
His wife. Yeah.
Big white girl, yes, and Awesome
but you
Kong,
know, hey, big scary black girl. But we also know that there's such thing as artistic licensing.
Yes, which unfortunately is what the producers of this show are doing with. With what happened with the real thing.
Yeah.
And that.
I don't like it,
so.
But it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I will just stick to our seasons 1 and 2 of Lucha Underground, which, quick plug reminder, we're just another couple of weeks away from our Welcome Back Lucha Underground show, which we are scheduled to have, of course, our good friend Famous B, and this time with him will be beautiful Brenda and Cortez Castro. Unfortunately, Katie, I got a message from Marty the other day, and he will not be able to join us as he will be in Italy. And he did. But he did along with it post a sad face emoji.
Aww.
So.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys get the Vegas commercials up there.
Did you tell him when to slide down his pole? Yeah, we did.
Okay, where the guy says the battery's dead with the postcard, sad face emoji.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what a sad face emoji looks like. But did you make sure Marty knows?
That's the Vegas commercial.
Yeah, but did you tell Marty that I'm sad?
Oh, of course I told Marty that.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah. So
right,
Marty knows that Marty knows that you wanted to slide down his pole again.
I miss him.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Marty's a great guy. Marty's a lot of fun to have on the air, and that. I've actually caught a couple other podcasts with him, and that. And so, now I know, of course, we're live tomorrow night. I almost wish that we were instead going to do, like a wind out Wednesday or something, or switch our throwback Thursday, because, One of our guests has just gotten signed. Kennedy Brink. She was signed by WWE. But she is not signed as a wrestler. Kennedy Brink will be WWE's first female referee. So one of our guests, folks, is shattering that glass ceiling. Kennedy Brink got signed by WWE as a referee. So. All right. Now, well, the kickoff match for Backlash has been announced. And Canada gets represented, Katie.
Yay.
Ty Dillinger will be working the kickoff show match against the crybaby, Aiden English. So,
all right.
We'll have to see if and of course the interesting thing is, of course, this is home. As I mentioned before, Aiden actually worked with us at Chicago Style Wrestling before he went down to Florida to developmental, and then with the now departed Simon Gotch as the Vaudevillains made it to the main roster. So this will be English's first pay-per-view as a singles performer. So it will be interesting to see what happens with that. CZW has had some changes.
They had a return
this past Saturday, and again, it's somebody who's got a link to PWR, who has been a guest here in the past.
Who?
Masada returned to CZW this past Saturday night.
Very cool. Excuse me.
And they have had a change in the creative team for CZW. And the man who is going to be in charge of the creative team is Lucha Underground's Sammy Callahan.
Ooh, okay.
And
nice.
So what's going to happen is that Callahan and his creative team are going to handle the creative and the promotional things, while DJ Hyde, who we've also had on the show, is going to be more focusing on managing the back end, business end of the company. And so what's going to happen is they're kind of starting to change, and while they're not going to completely get away from Tournament of Death, Cage of Death,
okay.
those won't be their main focus type events. In fact, with the this past weekend, they showed the new direction that they're going by giving the top two titles to Maxwell Jacob Friedman and Leo Rush. And Rush is quite well known throughout the independent circuit. Has quite a reputation. So And then a little more controversy. This one involving a former WWE star, Ariane Andrew, who, of course, we knew as Cameron from the Funkadactyls. She was on TMZ Sports, and when she was caught by the paparazzi for TMZ, she stated that she doesn't date black guys.
Yeah, and she got called a racist for it. Like, what the hell is that?
Right.
Okay,
right.
I've dealt with this myself.
And it's because of what she said. And I personally don't, at least myself, I don't see the issue with this statement, okay? She said, I just have a thing for white boys. A little vanilla, a little chocolate, they make cute babies.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with what she said. There's absolutely nothing wrong with what she said. Okay, I'm gonna elaborate on that. Yeah, black and white people do make beautiful babies. You want to know something? When I was pregnant, I got called a racist because all the girls around me were all dating black guys and having mixed little babies, and I was having a little white baby, and I got called a racist for that fact. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they just pulled the white people fucking rhetoric bullshit on me, and I'm just like, I'm not into dark meat. I like white meat. And they're like, this isn't turkey. I go, well, if you want to talk turkey, this is the way it's going to be. And I'm not a racist. Fuck you, I'm not a racist.
Yeah.
Jesus, my family is not full of racists. My auntie has a beautiful daughter named Andrea who looks like Left Eye Lopez from TLC. Okay? There's absolutely none of it. I've dated black guys. Yes, I have. I've dated black guys. I've dated two black guys.
Oh,
Wendell,
baby.
Wendell and Dwayne. One had a penis, one didn't. There is absolutely, they're people. Like, absolutely, geez. Sure, there's a difference in who you date and whatnot, but you shouldn't be called a racist just because you choose not to date a certain race. You know, like, fuck. Like, geez,
can you hear me?
I can hear you. But, yeah, just, I don't get it. You know,
I mean,
you should be allowed to love who you want.
Right.
White,
well,
black, purple,
like,
fat, it doesn't matter.
And sort of like the whole Miss USA health insurance question from this past weekend.
All right, I'm lost. I don't know anything about that.
Well, go ahead.
Hold on, Billy, please.
Well, Miss Washington, D.C., who won the crown, was asked whether healthcare is a right or a privilege. Well, she said it was a privilege. She's a government employee, so she's privileged to have healthcare through her employer. And, you know, if people have jobs, then they get healthcare, which, of course, caused an immediate backlash, being a black woman and that.
Yeah.
And so she has had to clarify on practically every show that she has been on since Saturday when she got crowned says, yes, I do believe healthcare is a right. Well, but anyway, Ariane said this on Skype. She says, I've dated black guys in the past. We all have a preference. It's a preference thing, and it was a comment, and it wasn't meant to be derogatory. She wanted to make clear that she meant no harm with her earlier comments, and if you're dope, you're dope.
Dope boy.
I don't care. I've gone around with all kinds of different men, Greek men, Italian men. I did not date the Asian market. I don't know why.
Right.
It never came up. It seriously just never came up.
Yeah.
Right. But I mean,
yeah, I know. I've never had one in, you know, where I've had that possibility either.
Yeah. I mean, not my husband. My husband's dated everybody. Darren was a little bit of a regret. Go ahead,
yeah.
Julie, I'm done.
People these days need to learn to tell the difference between preference and racism, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
So in other words, Katie, what you're saying is back in his day, Darren was a slut.
Yeah, Darren was a man whore. Darren was a serious man whore. He still would be if I let him. If I let him go out once a week and pick up chicks, he would. Sure, he'd bring them home to me, but yeah, he totally would.
Hollywood. Oh my God!
Hey man, I know where my man sleeps, and if there's someone in between it, that's fine too. It's all good.
All right.
All good.
Go
all good.
Somebody might have made a little slip up, on Twitter.
Who
that,
on what?
That could be hinting to something that might happen this weekend at Takeover at NXT Takeover Chicago.
Okay, I'm ready to know. Tell me.
Okay, so one of the people that is involved in recording the music for the WWE entrances.
All right.
And that mentioned that she was really thrilled to be doing Johnny Gargano's music. I'll pull up the actual tweet here. And
I don't know how I'm burpy. I didn't eat.
Hope Vista tweeted on Monday night saying, "Tomorrow I'm recording lead vocals for WWE star Johnny Gargano's theme for when he enters the ring. Shall be interesting." Now, remember, Gargano is part of the team of DIY with Tommaso Ciampa.
Do it yourself. What?
But she does not. But she doesn't say DIY. She doesn't mention Ciampa. She only mentions Gargano. Now the tweet's been deleted, but.
Okay.
So you wonder, does that mean that at the ladder match on Saturday night that something is going to happen which is going to cause the two of them to break up? Interesting.
We shall
interesting.
See.
Something smells like
Yes, and we don't. And no, well, we did not. We did not forget the A in ham. We said
ham,
like Arsenio used to say, things that make you go hmm.
That's not no. That's not things that make you go hmm. Things that make you go ooh, ooh, yeah.
Well, CNC Music Factory stole that from Arsenio. Arsenio did
no,
that
not.
On
it's,
his
it's,
show first.
It's
before the
it's,
song
okay,
came
it's not. Out. I don't know. Actually, it was they were almost around the same time. To be honest. Fuck, I'm old.
But
I'm old.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't know about anybody else, but Last night's Raw.
It was just okay for me.
I mean, right. I mean,
really
there were decent matches. The Intercontinental title match was a decent match. Now, the cruiserweight match was fairly good. Reigns and Balor, well, not much you can do, unfortunately, in that case. Then, of course, we witnessed the split up of the Golden Truth.
Oh man!
Damn it!
Seriously. Okay. I'm going to weigh in on this. I love you, R-Truth. I really, 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 really do. But I love Goldust more. Okay. Now you can tell that was coming a mile away, as far as I'm concerned. And I haven't seen a Goldust heel turn in decades. So I'm really looking forward to it. I really, really am. Maybe I can say that I am also looking to maybe a feud with Goldie and with R-Truth. You know, maybe.
Right.
I think it might be good.
Yeah,
Exactly.
I don't know. You know, if it's gonna be a feud or whether they're taking Truth out right now to promote that. Movie he's in with Trey Songz from WWE Studios and that which our friend formerly known as Trauma Jay Washington very much panned what he saw in the trailer and that. And consider, and let's put it this way, Jay should know, okay? Jay was in a good movie. Jay was in Chirac. He knows good movies because he's been in good movies. And if he's sitting there saying this thing is a stink bomb, it's a stink bomb. So, you know, I don't know. It was just one of those nights that, you know, I mean, thank God it wasn't, you know, a go home show for a pay-per-view like tonight was, because it would have been. Well, do I even actually want to watch the pay-per-view, even though I know I'm going to have to talk about it in a couple of days?
No.
And right now, it's not going to happen. All right. Well, this just got announced. And of course, remember, you always get to watch 205 Live on demand anytime on the WWE Network for only $9.99. But
fuck you if you're in Canada, because if you're in Ontario, you're paying $12.
Well, hey, exchange rate. But anyway. Akira Tozawa and Brian Kendrick will be going at it in a street fight next week. So that should be the blow off for that feud.
Ooh. Well, hello, Jonathan.
Hello. I've been here just listening.
What did I tell you about doing that?
First of all, sorry to everybody that has died.
Okay. Oh, I thought you did something that you needed to apologize for. Oops. My bad.
Excuse me. Sorry.
Oh, damn you. Stop it. Close your mouth. I closed
Seriously.
My mind. Close your mouth.
Well, I was
Seriously.
Getting ready to talk, and then a burp came out, so I couldn't get it closed in time.
I've had to learn to master that because, well, I burp and I burp a lot, and it doesn't matter what I eat or drink, I'm going to burp. I mean, even if I catch too much air, I'm going to burp. This is why I don't drink pop. Why? Because I burp. So,
Could you imagine one of her root beer burps on air?
Okay. Last week I was drinking grape pop and I ate some chili. Yeah, so I muted a few of them. But yeah, I was burping fire last week. I was burping fire.
From both ends.
Yeah. No, well, not. Never mind. Anything I say will be gross or get me in trouble. So yeah, just leave that alone. What do you need, Sean?
I want to play this. This is our good friend Crime Fighter shooting.
Over the past few years, there's been an intense campaign to prevent one man from being reestablished in Central and Northern Illinois. If this man was said to be coming in as an announcer to an event, wrestlers en masse would threaten to walk out in vehement opposition to him being there, leaving the promoter no choice but to drop him. His attempts to book an event would encounter numerous roadblocks, backstabs, hoops, and obstacles thrown in his path seemingly far higher than with any other promoter. It is so bad. Any appearances or bookings have to be kept under wraps until the day of the event to ensure it happens at all. Who is this person? You know him as the host of Pro Wrestling Roundtable, Sean David. A little backstory. Sean David was a wrestler himself for a few years before being forced into hanging up the boots due to a medical condition. He then turned towards other roles that involved combat, such as promoting the Rebellious Wrestling Federation, even becoming an NWA Midwest affiliate for a time. Somewhere along the way, though, he got into a pay dispute with a former WWE wrestler known as Mantar, and several heavily disputed whether the funds the late NWA Midwest chairman, Ed Schumann, offered for one of Sean David's events was a loan or sponsorship. There were a number of grievances that piled up to where he stopped promoting shows and began the weekly live Pro Wrestling Roundtable podcast. The podcast has been controversial at times, where he, along with his co-hosts, have used it to call out bad promoters, misconduct by wrestlers, even investigate horrific crimes. It also garnered considerable heat from area promotions such as Dreamwave and Funky Monkey, as they were often the target of criticism going off fan accounts instead of direct witnessing. On the flip side, he was the first to get the scoop on things, such as the end date of Dreamwave. While Sean David made major mistakes as a promoter years ago and became better educated on promoting, from the best in the business since then, the passage of time has not reduced the level of bitterness with those who work so hard to see him fail and remain blacklisted. It's remarkable he's not being permitted second chances while another infamous promoter who used to run in this area is still held in high regard despite far more and worse transgressions in his lengthy rap sheet. Sure, Sean David is not at all a saint, but good Lord, this has gotten way, way out of hand.
And that was an editorial. Yes, it was. That was an editorial comment on his weekly syndicated wrestling show in Central Illinois that will air this week. So, Crime Fighter, thank you for that. You didn't say anything not true.
Yeah, wow. Oh, my gosh. Wow.
He said absolutely nothing that wasn't the truth. I mean, he said everything that was the truth. So,
Nothing
but the truth, so help me God.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I had to play that when I heard it tonight because he sent it to me, and I ripped it and put it on here.
Okay.
And there's been more hurdles, folks. You're going to hear it here first. Due to family commitments, Cowboy Bob Orton Jr. will no longer be attending WrestleWars 2. This has left us with 2 weeks to go scrambling to provide you with the very best wrestling show that we can for the money that you're paying to see it. We hope that everybody will still come out and support a great night of professional wrestling action for a great cause.
Yep. All right. With that said, Sean, why don't you find something here so that we can go ahead, take a break. I know I've got some things that I got to do here that involve me getting off of this headset. Katie's got to refresh. I'm sure Billy wants to refresh. So
get her done.
Can you? So find something here, Sean, while I'm stalling.
Get one job.
And tell me when you got it.
I've got it.
All right, everybody. We'll be back in just a few minutes. Don't go too far. You are listening to Rampage Rants Tuesday Night Turmoil. You are in the ER.
You like it so far?
Selfish, cowardice, ungrateful, shameless. Castle Wars Professional Wrestling returns to Streeter Saturday night,
June 3rd,
6 to 5 p.m.
at the Streeter YMCA,
benefiting the Tornado Relief Fund of Nate Plain in Ottawa.
This is an all-ages event
featuring WWE Hall of Famer Cowboy Bob Orton Jr.,
a women's match,
two live bands,
Oblivion Zero and Left of Reason.
Get tickets at Camp Scottish Pub
and Trainer Flooring of Streeter,
or use the code RAD1 to save a dollar at the door.
Visit Facebook.com/RWF Pro.
Wrestle Wars happening June 3rd.
You've been to the rest. Now come see the best.
All right, and we're back.
Back in the ER. Check the ER, you like it so far. Check the ER. La 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 la.
I don't think Steve Kane's back yet. It's just me and you.
Yeah, I just walked back in when I saw my light go on. It's like, oh no, hurry up. So,
it's all good, man. It's all good.
All right.
It's fine.
All right. So, all right. Well, let's talk some SmackDown here, guys.
Okay.
So,
SmackDown Live.
Yep. We got to get the music back and everything. I'll have to find all those and get those back in. And that. Oh, really?
Excuse
that wasn't me.
I have my mouth closed.
So but it actually came through.
It happens.
All right, SmackDown tonight, the go-home show before Backlash. And Backlash just a couple days away. But the bigger thing that's a couple days away is NXT TakeOver.
Yeah.
That's going to be
the one. Oh my God, yes. That show is going to be off the hook. Seriously. I mean, if I was offered a ticket for TakeOver or Backlash, I would take the ticket for TakeOver.
You take the ticket for Backlash and sell it for a ticket for TakeOver.
Yeah. Either way, that would work too. That would work too.
So tonight,
right.
SmackDown brought to you by the number 2. Oh, this shirt's got to come off. It's hot.
I don't want to know that you're half naked. Jesus.
And neither does the rest of our audience, Sean.
No, we care not. Stop.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah.
No, that's fine.
Yeah,
great.
Keep your undress to yourself. Thank God we're not all working in the same studio together.
Well, the studio, if we all worked in it, would have some hella good air conditioning because, as you know, I'm the studio manager here, and you know, I make sure that our studio is kept nice and cool. So. I'd probably freeze you two out if we were all in the
Maybe.
Same studio together. Because I like to keep it
Maybe.
Nice and cool.
I don't want it too cold.
So in other words, you're going through menopause and you're having hot flashes.
We're not getting, seriously, man, I'm 43 years old and even I don't get hot flashes, okay? Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.
I'm the true definition of a transsexual.
One.
I just have all my parts.
Mm-hmm. Fucking queen.
Yeah. Yeah, except you're not supposed to go through it at 25.
Yeah. Earliest you're supposed to go through it is 35.
Gay menopause. What would you call gay menopause? Gayopause?
Nothing, because it's not a thing.
All right, we're losing track. Let's get back on track here, guys.
Yeah, please.
So, we open up with the highlight reel. Only this isn't your daddy's highlight reel.
No, it's mm-hmm. Kevin Owens.
You fucking stupid dumbass fuck. Oh.
Well, he is your United States heavyweight champion in the face of America.
That's nice.
Well, even though he's from Quebec.
I don't care if he's from Quebec. I don't give a shit where he's from. I don't care.
Well, you know them stupid separatists anyway.
Mhm. But I thought it was Sami Zayn that was Montreal and that Mr. Owens was from Ottawa.
Let's see,
he's from Ottawa.
He's from actually what? Merivale, I believe. I will look that up real quick here.
Well, they announced him from Merivale, Quebec, Canada.
Yeah, so I was gonna say that. I thought it was Merivale, Quebec.
But he could be from Ottawa.
Well, he's born in Saint Jean sur Richelieu. That sounds pretty fucking French.
Yeah.
You want to run that by me again, sweetheart?
Zane Jean, you're going to fucking make me do this. Okay, I am in no way classed in any French whatsoever. A little bit of grade 4, and that's about it. Hey, Saint Jean sur Richelieu. Why the fuck does everything in French sound like a question? Have you ever noticed that? Everything.
Well, yeah, exactly. He's built from Merivale, Quebec.
Merivale. Okay.
Well, and his birth name, Kevin Yannick Steen.
Kevin Yannick Steen. Y-A-N-I-C-K. Yep. Saint Jean sur Richelieu, Quebec, Canada.
Yep.
Oh.
He's a dirty fucking hab. So he needs to know. Dirty
yep.
hab. He looks like a dirty
there,
hab.
Yeah.
Look at him.
I don't want to listen to your radio show.
Hey,
what
man.
The fuck?
No. So, yeah, in fact, that's the thing. I mean, in fact, it's funny because if you would to listen to him, you wouldn't realize that English is actually his second language.
Well,
and he learned that as a teenager by mimicking everything he heard while watching Monday Night Raw.
Like my cousin Elizabeth Ann, her may as well say her second language is English because, well, Mom was a French teacher. Sure, Uncle Jack is total Anglophone, but Brigitte did most of the teaching. So, yeah, you sit down to dinner with them, and even my Uncle Jack and both the kids are speaking French. It's just like, all right, well, maybe they want me to be quiet for the rest of the dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They're speaking so you can't understand them, and hey.
Yeah, and never, never, ever, ever sit next to my Aunt Brigitte, ever. It doesn't matter where, anywhere, just don't, because she gets really animated and starts talking with her hands, and I got backhanded into a couch one day, right in the throat. So, yeah, you got to be careful around Aunt Brigitte. And this is not the Katie show, or the Aunt Brigitte show.
Yeah.
Evolution Radio
now,
Network
now you know this.
Laid on Your Ass with Aunt Brigitte.
Yeah.
Oh my God! No, it was hilarious too. It was hilarious if you pissed her off.
She couldn't say the word hassle. So she made, don't give me don't give me no assholes. Don't give me no assholes. She couldn't say hassle.
Oh, God.
She just couldn't. So it was assholes. Yeah.
Hmm.
So, yeah. What's next?
Jinder Mahal face AJ Styles. Juicy.
Wait a second. Wait
as
a second. Who was that?
Reel.
You just said, Sean?
Jinder Mahal. The Maha Raja.
He's vascular.
He's good. Vascular.
Oh my God! Don't even start this weekend. It was Thursday. Me and Darren, we were Pokemon hunting in the park with our buddy Kyle, right? And they were talking about guys and juicing and whatnot. I go, what, you don't like that they're vascular? Darren almost fucking lost it. The kid's just, Kyle's just looking at
vascular.
He's just vascular. He's so vascular.
Look at that motherfucker. He's just vascular.
Vascular is so vascular. Anyways, this is not the vascular show.
The Maha Raja, as JBL calls him.
Oh, my God.
With so much pride.
That's nice.
The
He's not a Maharaj. He is not a Maharaj. It's not Raja. It's Raj. Okay, it's just Maharaj. It's come on, man. Don't do that.
The Maharaj blasted his foe with a methodical offense when Styles started to mount a comeback. The Singh brothers distracted him long enough for Mahal to regain control. Styles battled back and looked to be closing in on a victory when Owens cracked him in the knee with the U.S. title. That opened the door for Mahal to finish off Styles.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to the fashion files. Tyler Breeze revealed himself as a janitor in disguise. Brizango then rattled off the fashion violations among the SmackDown roster. They talked of facing the Usos before doing a freeze frame pose. Then the colons, or the colons.
The colons, honey, the colons. As in that stuff that you bathe in thinking that it smells good every day.
Versus Brizango. The colognes started off strong, battering Breeze in their corner. Fandango charged in and steamrolled over his foes. A falcon arrow was enough for a quick pin. The Usos stepped onto the entrance ramp to talk trash. They showed off their championship titles before berating their enemy. Contract signing for 6 women tag team match that just ended in a big shitstorm pile. SmackDown Commissioner Shane McMahon talked up the women's division before introducing the 6 women set to compete at Backlash. The welcoming committee started down Naomi, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch. Stare down Naomi, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch as they entered the ring. Natalya derided them before signing the contract. Lynch and Naomi threatened the heels. Flair made it clear that she was going after the women's title after this match. Ellsworth told the babyfaces they had no chance with him. McMahon tried to prevent the brawl that nearly exploded. He booked about between Naomi and Carmella. So that's what we get next. Carmella versus Naomi.
Mm-hmm. That was a sick-ass match.
Naomi chased down Carmella as both women's allies stood at ringside. The champion pounded her foe in a dominating performance. Ellsworth tried to protect the Princess of Staten Island, but the referee tossed him. Carmella used the distraction of her posse to take control. She slowed the match down and tried to ground Naomi. The referee soon ejected Tamina and Natalya too. They refused to leave, however, slugging it out with Flair and Lynch outside ringside. In the midst of the chaos, Carmella rolled up Naomi for the win.
Yeah, nice, you know, little, again, teaser thing to make it look like, hey, maybe she could pull this one off and that. But, of course, eventually, as we all know, usually happens, the good always will out. And, obviously, you know, Carmella is just a little too small to be any sort of a real match for Naomi.
Oh,
then
no.
In the main event,
oh,
Randy.
No, go.
Sean, where'd you go? All right. Well, I guess I'll go ahead and take up from there. Of course, main event was Randy Orton against Baron Corbin, who earlier in the evening in a backstage segment had beat up Sami Zayn. So, some back and forth action. A lot of Corbin yelling at the crowd and that. Orton goes one for one RKO, gets pushed away, drops the elbow. Corbin manages to hit off a deep six, then forearm goes to the floor, and then as he comes back in, RKO out of nowhere, three count, and Randy Orton wins. But then, of course, after that, out comes the Bollywood Boys and Jinder.
He's so vascular.
Mahal. Woo! Who proceed to go ahead and issue another beat down to Orton, teasing the possibility. Yes.
I'm really hating these polyester pricks. I really am. Seriously, they're getting on my fucking nerves. Oh. Yeah.
What?
I mean, dude, shit. No, wrong show. Can't have Evolution. No, Evolution.
Evolution is a mystery.
Please don't sing. You don't know how. Anyways, it would be nice if we could have a rebirth of Evolution. I'd love it. That'd be fucking great. Everybody knows how I feel about that. Now they're vascular.
Vascular.
He's
vascular.
Vascular.
You need to find a clip of Vince saying it. It would be too funny.
Well, I just figured, you know what would be funnier is to do it with the feminine voice and.
He's so vascular.
So, that's what I did. I just went ahead and I sat down and I recorded it.
Yes, you did.
So.
Oh, so good.
Yes, it is.
It's all good in the neighborhood.
Duda, duda.
Well,
then,
Jim
Cornette
has been up to it again.
Well, damn. What's he doing now?
Well, I know he and Uncle Kenny were together down in Memphis this past weekend.
Yes,
and
they were.
And they spent time with Jerry the King Lawler.
Yay!
At Jerry's All Star Barbecue and Grill, which Kenny proceeded to overindulge in, and of course
Hangman's Barbecue,
and of course Jim Cornette proved that once again his claims of being on a low fat diet are a complete work.
Bullshit.
Yep.
And them ribs aren't low fat, buddy.
No.
We will especially
slathered in all that sauce.
All that rib sauce. Ooh, yeah.
We will be playing some Jim Cornette clips tomorrow.
I want ribs. Or any barbecue at all.
Q sauce.
Barbecue sauce.
Baby back ribs. Yes, again.
It's the weird
stuff that sticks with you after all these years, you know.
It's almost summertime, man. I want my baby back ribs.
Wow.
Yes, we are.
I have like 2 racks of ribs in the freezer right now.
Well, I might have to tune into that.
Oh my gosh.
Sorry, folks. So, I'm hungry.
I
get hungry every time we talk about any of his excursions. What do you want, man?
Yeah, because most of the time Kenny's excursions are at the Louisville Golden Corral.
Golden Corral. Free,
you know,
motherfucker.
So, but it's good, you know, it's good to see that Kenny's doing, you know, so well. He had, of course, he had kind of a rocky thing a few weeks ago where at the same time that he was moving, he lost his beloved cow.
Oh.
And
I thought
so,
about that.
Yeah. So he was,
that's,
you know,
right.
He was definitely, you know, kind of brokenhearted as he, you know, went and left the house that he'd spent years in. So
sounds like it.
Yeah, but he seems to be adjusting to the new place quite well, and that. Well, of course, you know, hey, this past weekend, where was he at? He was in Memphis with Jimmy and Jerry Lawler. And at least this time, Kenny wasn't complaining about Jimmy taking 20 bathroom stops on the way there or back. So I guess that's a good thing.
Yeah. That sounds like a good thing.
Yeah. It was so funny when I got the call from him that night after they'd come back from the Lawler Funk show, and he just opened up both barrels, and I had to sit there and take it, and that, oh my God, seriously, I mean, if Kenny could have spit a bullet and hit Jimmy with it over across town at Jimmy's house. He would have done it that afternoon. Seriously.
Mm.
You know. So well, I think we've kind of covered all that there is to cover here tonight, folks.
Yeah.
Sounds like. Looks like.
So.
All right.
All right. We will be back here tomorrow night, slightly earlier at time. What's that?
We got callers. See if they got anything to talk about. Oh, he dropped.
Oh. We had a caller, and I think I know who it was. She was probably Larry. Larry said he was going to call in.
So.
People, we will see you tomorrow night for PWR Slam at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern, right back here on the Evolution Radio Network. You better join us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Steve Kane, you can play us out. I'm out of here. Good night, everybody.
Katie, tell them what time it is.
What time is it? You don't have to go home, but sure as fuck can't stay here. Take off, eh?
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
from other beginnings. And